Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana.
As per usual, it's awesome to be back here with you. How are your stand-up shows going?
The stand-up shows have been
so
great.
Much fun.
I performed at a bay under a tent and at a farm off the highway. And I, you know, listen, stand-up is trying to survive. And that is the reality because the comedy clubs, I've done some socially distanced shows. It's nice that people are coming out. I know our audience is really like, you know, we have a young, fun audience that likes to do things. And they're showing up to the farm to
right.
watch me do jokes next to a duck. Like, it's a little weird.
They're coming
but
out.
They're coming out, and I think, like, it's interesting because when you first, I started doing stand-up 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. So in the beginning, you are like it's kind of a normal thing. You go up anywhere someone will let you go on stage and listen to you. So you do a lot of bar shows. You do a lot of shows anywhere there's a mic and a light. Like, there's shows in laundromats. There's shows. So when you start out and you're doing open mics every night and all you want to do is do a show for a real group of people that aren't comedians and aren't cynical and they're there to have fun. So it kind of feels like I'm going back to the old times. Like, I'm going back to where I came from a little bit, which is fun and not fun and depressing and exciting all at the same time. So how are you? What have you been up to? What's going on?
It's funny, on that note, I remember sending you like this. I'm like, look at this this concert they're having in the Hamptons for like the Chainsmokers. I'm like, you got to do something like that with a bunch of other comedians. And then you see like Monday morning, Cuomo is like, we've got to investigate and arrest anyone who is involved in the planning of this Chainsmokers concert.
We haven't talked about this. You were the first one to send me that. And then I saw the videos yesterday.
This looks so fun.
Yeah. And it's like, no one can handle themselves. It's like, yeah. And also, that story in particular, it's like, you know, they said that the CEO of Goldman Sachs did a guest DJ set, like, it's in the Hamptons and it's the Chainsmokers and you see how much the tickets are. So like, and then like the public shaming comes in. They're like, you know, look at these rich idiots. They're the reason we're inside. And it's like, it's all a mess.
And the week before that, I was like, you got to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't listen. If you want to come to my shows, there's no Goldman Sachs CEO doing 5 minutes at the top. We keep it socially distanced. It's been a lot of fun to see people still coming out. I'm actually doing shows. I want to announce it before we get started.
This comes out the 5th of August.
The 5th. So in 2 weeks, I'm going to be in Charleston, South Carolina at Uptown Social, which is like a fun young bar. And they have an outdoor section with 90 spaces. So Wednesday the 19th and Thursday the 20th in Charleston, South Carolina. If you want to make a trip out of it, make a weekend. We're all looking for reasons to get out and about. You can come. I'd love for you to come and get a ticket. It'll be on my social media. Also, I'm going to be in Mohegan Sun at the casino doing shows this weekend. That came up last second. These things
it's
are
so
coming
fun.
Up last second because people are canceling and they're like, Jared, will you do
no
it?
No one
and
I'm has
like,
made long-term plans.
What do you mean?
You usually have your schedule like months in advance, right? Like
these now summer ones are kind of popping up. Yeah, you're right. And so I'm going to be at Mohegan Sun this weekend at the casino. Again, and all these clubs are doing half capacity and masks until you get to your table and all that stuff. So if you want to check out where I'm at, jaredfreed.com. I think I'll be in Cleveland too. So
ooh.
Cleveland at the end of the month. That's right, Cleveland. I'll be right by the lake, so come on out. Hilarities in Cleveland, Mohegan Sun Comics, Mohegan Sun, and Charleston. Charleston's the fun one. I'm going
They're
down there.
They're all fun.
They're
Charleston's
all fun.
The especially
That's right.
fun one.
And we have a big announcement. Thank you for letting me go on and on. We have a big announcement.
We do. So we are going to start doing extra mini episodes for you. So we're going to have two episodes a week. One will be a little bit shorter than the other, but our second episodes are going to come out on Sundays and you guys should check them out. We'll probably do, well, we might do different things every week, but we're going to start off just doing like an email or a deal reveal or something like that. If you guys have anything that you want, they'll be like shorter, a little bit shorter. So we're going to talk about probably just one topic or one email. So if you guys have any suggestions for those, email us UUP@betches.com.
What I love about the extra podcast, so we're going to be Wednesdays per usual. It's going to be the same great show on Wednesday that you know and love. What I love about what we're doing, the Sunday bonus show, is kind of where we get to color outside the lines because we get so many suggestions mm-hmm. of like, do this or that. And it's like, okay, we're going to start with like a, maybe a little bit of a longer email every Sunday. But if you guys are like, hey, this new show is great, we can do an episode about the show, or we can do, and it's kind of a mini-sode, and we're doing it on Sundays because we just know, like, I know as a, I'm a podcast listener, and I think sometimes I get to the weekend and I'm like, just get me out of the Sunday weirds right now. You know, the right. Sunday, like, voice in your head. And I'm like, that's what this podcast is all about, getting you to put your brain on the shelf and letting Jordan and I take the wheel whenever you need it most. So, we're excited to do the Sunday episode. We want your suggestions. If you have ideas, I love opening this up. We have already a bunch of ideas that we're going to do with the Sunday episode. It's starting with a longer email this Sunday. So check it out. And let me tell you this. We're going to give you more content. You're welcome. We need more talky from you guys. We need more people, we need more Instagram posts. We need more telling a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. Anyone with ears, we'll take them. This is the podcast for everyone, right, Jordana?
Exactly. Do some rating, reviewing, and subscribing. You guys are great. We want to see more.
All the goods. Yeah, and listen, I want to reiterate how much we love the fans, people that come out. I get to meet these people. You know, it's just really nice that you guys love the show as much as we love doing it. Right?
Yeah, I saw this morning. There was, you were on someone's ship profile. That was great.
Oh, really? I love that. Yeah, I end up on dating profiles. I had someone reach out to me. They want me to zoom into their charcuterie competition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna try it out. I think we're gonna give it a shot.
Maybe it'll be in the 2024 Olympics.
We can only hope and pray.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
What are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about date cancellations in COVID. I've gotten a few of these emails. So I'm starting, when I get a few of the same kind of email, or we get a few of the same kind of email, I start to think it might be a trend.
Sure.
So we've got a few people writing. I'll read the email because it'll just explain color. It'll give color to this phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Hi, Jared and Jordana. I live in NYC and I just got back after quarantining with my parents for the last few months. I made a goal to really get out there and go on some social distance dates from the apps. I think I should give you a little background. I'm a 31-year-old female and have been on the apps for years with a low success rate. I tend to get canceled on a lot before they even meet me. The date gets scheduled, then more often than not, I get canceled on with just a few hours' notice. Am I doing something wrong? This would happen to me even before COVID. I've been back in the city for 4 weeks, and I lined up 6 dates. Out of those 6 dates, I have been canceled on 4 times. I normally follow up the day
of the
date.
That's not a good batting average.
It's not a good.
Four out of six.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, that gets you kicked out of the Major League Baseball.
Out of the 6 dates, I've been canceled on 4 times. I normally follow up the day of the date. If I have not heard from the person, the text is normally something like, "Hey, Brian, are we still on for tonight? Should I?" Well, you should probably change the names based on who you're going out with. That was a bad joke. Should I send these texts? I would prefer to know sooner rather than later if they are going to cancel. I know it is very common to cancel a first date from an app because technically the person doesn't owe you anything, but I think I'm experiencing more than other people. I had high hopes things would improve after quarantine and that people would be looking for connections more. I'm at a loss and feeling very defeated. Any advice you can give me is greatly appreciated. Thank you. So I've heard, we got this email, a few times. Some of them were from guys also. So I don't necessarily think that this is just a female thing. I thought it was interesting that we got a few of these.
Sure. I want to start by talking to the emailer. She says, I had high hopes things would improve after quarantine and that people would be looking for connections more. I'm at a loss and feeling very defeated. I'm sorry you're feeling that way. You're not alone, which is something, because you see the emails for this podcast, yeah. and I trust you to go through those, and you're saying you're seeing it a lot. I've seen a lot of emails like this for my podcast that I do separately, so this is something that's happening to a lot of people, so I hope she doesn't. That helps her to not feel alone. I have
or
theories.
Or take it as personally.
And take it as personally. Yeah. You're right. And I have theories. Like, I think the longer you wait to go on a date, a first date, then the more of a chance that first date will not happen. And I've been in that situation where it's like you're talking on like a Wednesday and then the person's like, well, this week, I cannot do this weekend or I can't do whatever. And then it's like, okay, let's put it in for next Wednesday. A week in dating time may as well be a year. And then where do you go from there? You have two types. There's two types. There's the now we text as if we've known each other for 1,000 years, or we don't text at all until that Wednesday. Like, there's very little in between on that. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
So for me, I'm like, okay, let's say you go the whole week texting like you've known each other 100 years because you made this date for a week away. That's kind of fucked because now it adds more pressure on the first date. That first date isn't necessarily a quote-unquote first date situation. And then
for so long, you're saying?
Because you've been talking for so long and you're basically having the first date over the course of the 7 days while you text. And then it becomes, if we go on this date, now it's like it can only be this or this. It can only be more serious. It can only be.
Right.
And I'm just giving the perspective of how I felt in that situation. So, and I think it's very close to a lot
of
people.
Has that made you think like, okay, like, this feels like there's more pressure on the state. I don't really even want to go there.
There's more pressure on it. Also, we've had the first date. I'm kind of like either more excited by the week after, or I'm just like,
oh, so you're talking about second dates.
What? No, I'm talking about let's in this hypothetical situation, it's Wednesday. You get a match. You talk on the app. You say, hey, we should do a date. They say, nah, I can't do it this weekend, but next Wednesday works. And then you text from Wednesday to Wednesday, You're having the first date over text.
Okay, you're saying you're having all the conversations that you would have had on a first date.
Exactly. So by the time you get to that Wednesday where the first date, the actual first date's going to happen, you either feel that the pressure is too much, or there's three choices. Pressure's too much. I don't want to go on this date. This week of texting hasn't really gotten me excited about it. Or I'm excited. I should go on this date.
Right.
It's not just, and I think the way this woman who's writing in, and I don't think she's wrong for it. I think all of this is a mind fuck. Admittedly, this is a mind fuck because you're texting on the same phone that you text your dad and your brother and your good friends and the ex that you used to date and the person you're hooking up with and this new person. So they feel more familiar. And now you're like, well, we made a date. It should be the happening. There's way more variables involved in that time between making date and going on date is the
right
case.
So you're saying to make that window as short as possible so that it's like not, there's almost less time to think about it. You just got to do it.
Yeah. I think like when we referenced the Dr. Ellen Fisher who came on a lot.
Right.
Because she made so much sense when she called it an introduction. The app is an introduction app, not a dating
right.
app. So the idea that like if you met this person in a busy bar and you guys had talked for a while and then exchanged numbers, you wouldn't be let down by the if the number exchange, that is your first date. That's your interaction. And if you exchange numbers right. being like, hey, we should do something this weekend, you'd be let down in a, I think in a more real, you're getting let down in the same way that you would be in that bar situation when
okay.
it's not the same.
So let's say you can't help but have a date that's a week away.
Mm-hmm.
What's the solution there to kind of like minimize the chances of cancellation?
Well, this is kind of going back to the beginning of this conversation when I said that there's another situation where you go radio silent until the day before. And now you're like, and that
well, now
situation.
It's kind of like, oh, I almost forgot about this thing.
Exactly. Am I really even excited to go out with this person?
Right.
Is this person excited to go out with me? I'm saying this is hard, is really my point. Because all the options kind of suck. Like, you're either having this first date over the course of a week, or you're having no date at all, and you're not even sure if this person's excited.
Right. And I think when you throw I think all this is true, and it was very true like before COVID. I think when you throw COVID into the mix, it's like the more time I have to think about this date, the more I'm like, oh, like every person that I'm meeting up with is kind of a risk, right? So
sure.
I could see how like in your head you might go back and forth and back and forth and be like, like I kind of feel like this could be good, but like if it's not, then I just kind of like met up with this person that I like broke this quarantine potentially for like
sure.
no reason. Like I could see going back and forth in your head and being like every date kind of like has a little more weight, just like every like activity that you do or go out for like has a little more weight than it was before had before, where you were just like casually going, you know what I mean? If you had a date on a Tuesday, it'd be like, yeah, why not? And now it's kind of like, well, there's like a little bit more risk associated with that.
Totally. I and also for COVID, the excuse has been built in. COVID gave us all a child.
Right.
Like, you know, like a person with a child could always say, I got the kids. And you'd have to relinquish to that excuse.
Yes.
You'd have to be like, kid excuse wins. It trumps all. The COVID excuse is now not as, it's as if our child grew up. Like the COVID excuse in the beginning, you could go, well, we got to FaceTime because of COVID, or I can't get together now because I'm at home and you're at home. And it's, oh, because of COVID. Oh, COVID's at home. I got to find a.
It's an easier out round, right? Like, I don't know if I want to take this.
Yeah. I got to find a sitter for COVID. Like, it became your child. And now COVID is 13.
Right.
And now there's options. And
now it's
like
you can't leave
COVID.
You could show up on time. Right.
Yeah, you could be on time. You made drinks for this week. And now people are realizing that the person you were texting, it was very convenient to text you when there were no other options. It was very convenient to tell you how many great dates you guys would go on when you didn't have to pay the check. It was very, and it's like, this is like everything they write. is normal to me.
Yeah. I saw a very funny tweet along the line. I wish I could remember who tweeted it, but they were like, anything that I don't really want to, any plan that I hear about that I don't really want to go to, I say, really, in a global pandemic?
I saw that. He follows me. Something Laurent. He's a very nice guy.
It was very funny.
I don't recall exactly. And yeah, he's right.
That's sort of mentality.
Because it's, now I feel bad. I feel like I got to find this guy's handle. I'm sorry I put this on you
by accident.
Well, he wrote me a nice message because he followed it. Okay, here he is. It's Lauren T. BTW. Laurent Perrier.
Oh, okay. Then read the tweet. It's worded very well.
Whenever I get asked to do something I don't want to do, I just answer in a pandemic, and it's worked pretty well so far.
Right.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. And it's on the subject of, like, you have a child now. You have something that is the excuse to get out of things. And that excuse is running up, is my point. And it's like, that's why right now we're getting a lot of emails like, oh, I'm getting all these cancellations, because people are being put at the decision of going out with you where they have spent this amount of time texting and promising, and now they gotta pay the bill. You know,
right.
Now
is the time that we're gonna vet out. I mean, we used to get, it's funny, if you look at our episodes a while ago, there was one titled like, is this real or is this just a quarantine distraction? Now is the time where you get to find out. Is it real?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And it's like, you know, also, but this isn't to say that like everyone you met during COVID is gonna cancel or be not real. Like, these were real interactions. These were and I think like when you use the excuse of COVID and the quarantine to give people the benefit of the doubt, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Okay.
Like, a lot of people will go, well, it's quarantine, it's COVID. Of course they're not making a date yet. They're not sure about... No.
Your kid's
13. The kid can stay at home. COVID can stay at home by himself. COVID doesn't need a sitter anymore.
But some parents don't want to leave their 12-year-old at home.
Well, then those parents aren't going to be hanging out with you. I think...
I'm saying, like, there are some people. I mean, like, I'm not really... Like, I'm not the most extreme, like, COVID conscious person that you'll ever meet. But there are people who are like a little more like worried about it than others, which I think is fair.
That's totally fair. And you're absolutely right. And they have a right to be. But that doesn't mean you have to make the excuse for them. And what people do with a lot, this happens in dating, in our emails all the time. Well, he's busy with work and he's got to study and he's been driving home a lot. So that's the reason our texting has been minimal. It's like, has he said those things? Are those a reality? Are you projecting them onto him? Exactly. And so it's two different things when you say, like, if you're dating someone who's like, listen, I'm taking this so seriously, good for them. That is something you have to respect. But when they say that, okay, well, what's the other? If we can't do the date this week, are we going to do FaceTime? Are we going to do a socially distanced date? Are we going to do one we're not drinking? Like, that doesn't, just because their priorities with how they're treating their actions during a pandemic do not supersede your right to be treated the way you want to be treated.
Right. So in some ways, it's good if you get canceled on, because you're finding out earlier, sooner rather than later, just how badly this person like really wants to date.
Totally. And I would say to this person that, you know, sometimes the answers are in the emails. I get canceled on within a few hours notice. Am I doing something wrong? This could happen. This would happen to me before. If it's happening before and now it's happening now again, I would encourage this person less time. Kind of like, I don't want to like go with like a black and white response to this, because you need to talk to people on apps and it's got to feel right for you to want to go out with them. But if you're talking and texting hours and hours and hours, there's a point where you have to go, take my number. I'll see you Wednesday. Take my number. Let's do something tonight.
Right.
Take my number. You know, like, and I think,
right. No, sorry, go on.
No, but the phrase take my number is fun, it's flirty, and it's throwing them the ball. Take my number.
But it's also, right, it's throwing them the ball, but it's also sort of like saying, like, you have to make this happen too. It's not, because I see what you're saying. Like, she might be in situations where she's like, well, we should get drinks sometime, which there's nothing wrong with that. But again, like, I think if she's sort of like doing more of the or a larger part of the planning of the date, and the person can just kind of say yes or no, it leaves more room for them to leave. And you find out if someone's actually serious about it, if you say, hey, take my number, and then they come up with the plan, then they're more invested in it.
You bring up the most fantastic point of this whole conversation. We should do drinks sometime. What people have to understand is we should do drinks sometime is death by a thousand paper cuts. Because if someone, we should do drinks sometime. Say to me, we should do drinks sometime.
We should do drinks sometime.
We definitely should. How was your weekend? Like, it is you. What a lot of, and I'm saying this from a guy's perspective. Me, Jared Freed, the board lord. I tweeted this out earlier, and I want to make sure we say it on this podcast because I understand how confusing it can be to the other side. Men will work incredibly hard to make things casual.
It seems like so, counterintuitive.
Right? Well, this is we talk about this all the time on the show. Like, why does he want me to move to Snap? Why won't he just text me on normal number? Guys will work incredibly hard to be casual with you. And it seems counterintuitive, right? Because you're like, why does this guy keep texting me? Oh, he says we should get drinks. It seems stupid that he would say we should get drinks. Because we're going to work incredibly hard to make sure that you're an option for when we want to be casual. So, like, this woman who might be writing what you said, we should do drinks, I don't think that's the way to go. That gets you neutral answers. You want hard answers to get away from these people.
So you think she should say, we should do drinks on Tuesday?
I think, take my number, I'd love to do drinks.
And then let him take it from there.
You've given him the wood, the nails, the hammer. He can build the house.
Right. And if he doesn't, you know he doesn't really want it.
Yeah. It's like, don't wait by the window for the fucking bat signal to come out. It's not coming. You move on. Right. And I say this because I have done this. Like,
guys work even harder. So, like, that same guy might take your number and text you on Friday at 10:30 and say, like, hey, you said we should do drinks.
Well, that's a guy working hard. Yeah, he's working hard at being casual. And then, but you then have to go, like, I would even write down what I said to the guy. If someone's like, I'm just trying to work through this shit, write down, I said to them, I would love to do drinks. Here is my number. And then you come back to the list. He texts you at 10:30. And he's like, yeah,
that's
I'm ready
how you
for
wind up
now.
On like a Reddit thread as the crazy person. You remember that guy who had like the spreadsheet of his dates?
Yeah, well, you're right. Let's use pen and paper. Let's go old school so you don't get go viral. But I'm saying, if that guy comes back to you and goes, hey, drinks, you go, I'm actually in bed already. I'm such an old woman. Let me know. I'm down for Wednesday. A lot of the advice that we talk about, like, I'm not going to tell you what's definitely going to happen. I'm not going to tell you if someone's likes you or not. Here's how you volley back the serve. You're playing tennis. You volley it back with something, with a better option, with a better, you know, thing, right?
Right.
I don't know.
No, I agree. And then I also think that, like, if you're volleying for for too long, and everyone knows what their own threshold is, and it really shouldn't be that long. If you're doing if too much of that volume, because I see what you're saying playing out, and I can see how, because it's happened to me before, where you say like, like I actually like I'm busy, I can't really do that, I can do Wednesday, and the guy's like, great, and then like Wednesday comes around, and they don't really even like text you until like five, and then they're like, had kind of a long day, like got a lot of work, whatever, like. Then that should be like the end of the volley for you.
That's the end. You got to leave the court. Right.
There's so much volleying you can do. Like, I agree. Like, you do have some, especially with a lot of guys, you have to play like a little bit of like defense. But there comes a certain time when it's like, this person is clearly like not taking this seriously enough to plan a thing with more than 24 hours notice. They don't care that much.
But, and also, he's not going to say to you, hey, here's the text that's not coming. Here's the text you'll never get. Hey, I know I've put this off. I don't really want to go out more with you than I want to masturbate in my bed.
So I've never gotten that one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You've never gotten that. So, but that's the reality. Wednesday came along. He wasn't excited about more excited about going out with you than he was to sit in his bed and play with himself. And I know that's an icky thing to hear, but that's, and there's a point where you have to be the one to end it with them, because again, he's always going to be nice enough, work just hard enough to get casual.
Right. It sucks. And I do, I mean, like, to speak for women everywhere, it sucks to have to, like, be on that mode for so long of, like, vet, like, vet, because you're, I think there does come a time when you're dating for a while, when you're doing that with constantly with a lot of people, and you're like, this is like a lot of work to just be like, see, like trying to weed through these guys to see like the small number that have like intentions of actually going on a date. And then those are not even the guys you usually want to date.
So well, this is this, like, well, this
that's
is
like,
probably,
sort of, I can, it brings me back to like the frustrations of the New York City dating scene. And I get it. It's like, it does feel exhausting. Like it's funny because you're not even doing anything, but it can feel exhausting just to be like dealing, let's say dealing with like a few of those people a week. Is like kind of annoying.
And again, the way you put it is correct. Going through the weeds, you're trying to suss out the because everyone is genuinely being nice to you.
Right.
Like good guys and guys who want a relationship, sex, and just to text you are all very similarly nice over text.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it can be hard to tell like who's actually like fucking around and who like actually wants to go on a date.
That's why you kind of have to be like 100% okay with losing okay. Like you have to be, you know, like being like, hey, if you can't make a date happen within the first week, then you can't really make me happy within the first year. Like that's not going to happen.
It's hard. I get the hard part, I think, as a woman dating in a big city is the sense of like, dealing with all these people and weeding out all these people without and trying to have low expectations without coming off like cynical or like, you know, like bitter. Because I do think if you've been doing that enough, you do get this sense of like, it's just going to be another guy who's like not going to text me. And then you sound like a sad, like, you know what I mean? Like a sad, like angry woman, and that's not, no one wants to date that person either, so it sort of feeds into itself. So like I think we talk a lot about like how you want to be like the upbeat fun person, but I can also see the other side of it where you're like, yeah, I have to be this like fun person who's just excited to like ward off these guys who just want to sleep with me and then never text me again.
You're right. Listen everyone,
that's where our podcast comes in.
That's where we come in. And also when we give this advice, when I say things that can rub some people the wrong way, that like, oh, I understand like everyone has their breaking point. Everyone has a moment. Everyone has like, get the fuck away from me. Like I have that with people that like DM me, you know, like, and they're being annoying and I just want to be like, go fuck yourself. And I'm like, just no, you're in a different headspace than they're in. And I try to like not be that person. And but like we all have that within us. And also I think this also like attributes to why women seemingly have more stories when they do find the right person that are so like, can't believe it. Like, they're like, right. They're like,
sometimes
oh,
it can seem like it's like,
sure. And yeah. It was like, it's so easy with them. And oh my God, it's like, we just match so crazy. It's like, no, because this person's along for the ride that you both want to be on, you know, like,
right.
You know, Jess and I have conversations all the time where I'm like, you know, where it's like, we're like, you know, you have those moments, and I'm sure you and Mike have these of like, oh my God, look at us. Look how good we are together. And then you laugh about it.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have a fight like a day later and you're like, go fuck yourself. Right. Is this what it, you know, like whatever. But
I deserve
like,
more than this. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard that one the other day. But it's like, you know, it's only because you're on the same page. This woman where she's writing in, like they're all canceling. It's like they're canceling for their own reasons that it's not as personal. And it's again, like
right.
A lot of
it has
these
nothing
things,
to do
like,
with you. That's
no, I've canceled
remember.
On a lot of great people. Like yeah. Did I ever tell this story on the podcast? One time I was in a bar and this makes me sound horrible. I was in a bar and I was like, I'm like talking to a girl at the bar and I'm like, man, this is like going well, you know? And we're taking shots and we're having a fun time. And it's like, she's like, I got to run to the bathroom. And like, this is a, like, you know, this is, you know, quote unquote, what women would assume or other men would assume is the dream. You meet a girl at a bar, you're going to go home together. It's casual. It's fun. Like you would assume right. This is what I was looking for being out at a bar. And I remember we're taking a shot and then she goes, I'm going to go to the bathroom. She runs to the bathroom. And I remember I turned and saw a pizza place out the window across the street. And I had the moment where I was like, I can go home with her. I kind of know where this is going. We can go home, but I'm kind of hungry. and I was like, you got to make the decision to leave this bar and get pizza or stay here. And I could see the pizza place out the window. And I was like, pizza wins.
Wow.
And I
that's what you don't see in the rom-coms.
This is what I'm saying. this is like, again, like for I would assume a woman would be like, but you're single. You're out there. You want casual hookups. You got it. Like you got everything you want. And then like, pizza. I don't have
to
like.
Did you just leave or did you tell her?
So I left. I didn't tell her. This is where I sound bad. And I walked out and I remember sitting in the pizza place with two slices in front of me, just like looking out the window. And like, I could see her like walk out of the bar, walk in the bar. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Wondering where is this person? And it's like, I feel bad now, you know, telling the story, but I hope this story helps.
I mean, I'm sure she moved on, but
it's not personal to her. It's not about, it wasn't that she wasn't great. Like, I mean, right. This could have been, you know, this could have been Giselle. I'd be like, Giselle, pizza. You know, it could have been Beyonce. Like, you know, like I would be like, I don't know. I don't want to sleep in my underwear. I want my own bed. You know what I mean? Like, and right. It's like all of these were my things, not right. Me
not,
being like,
not, oh, she did something unattractive or
no.
She had a weird laugh. Right.
This is the same as canceling a date with someone you met on a dating app to me. Like you had this meeting. It went good enough. Pizza or
right,
you know, figuring out a way out of her apartment. Yeah. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to
no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BOLLANDBRANCH.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
I'm ready.
Now that I sound like the biggest piece of shit alive, UUP at Betches.com.
Hopefully that girl out there is listening now.
What if she's there like, what? Like, I gotta, that was me. You want me to read it?
Okay.
This is, I mean, the awkward sex emails keep getting better and better. I love this one.
Yeah, they're good. We've gotten a lot of them. They're great.
J&J, thank you for keeping me and so many other people laughing during this painful pandemic. Last year, I had been casually seeing someone for about 3 weeks. He came over one night when my roommates were away, and in the middle of having sex, he suddenly stopped and rushed to the bathroom. He asked me if I was on my period, and I said no. I was so confused, but I thought I would lay in bed and wait for him to figure himself out. She writes in parentheses, looking back, I should have probably been more concerned. Yeah, if someone runs, if I was with a woman who ran to the bathroom and was like, are you dying? I'd be like, what?
Yeah, she was like, nah, I'm fine.
Nah, all good over here. After about 5 to 10 minutes, I went to check on him, and he was looking down at his dick, and I saw a pool of blood on the floor. He was freaking out and told me he missed my vagina and his dick hit my stomach and bent it.
Is that possible?
I have been in situations.
How far do they bend?
They bend pretty far. I've moved it to the extremes of the,
Is there varying levels of penis flexibility?
Well, I've had yes, there's varying levels, but also I've been with, a woman and had her on top and then she slips off of my dick. You ever have that happen? And then you have that moment where you
I assumed it was just because it's sensitive.
No, it's more, that's a bending thing.
Oh, it hurts?
It kind of feels it broke. Like if you're trying to do sometimes it'll fall out if she's on top or if you're trying to if you're in a position where weight is being put on it,
it'll feel like it's being crushed.
It feels like it got kind of bent. I understand this guy's. Okay. I don't know if it went into her stomach, but I understand the idea bent of like there's a slippage and then your dick goes in a direction it shouldn't have gone. It's kind of like turning an ankle. It kind of feels like that where you're like something awkward happened. My penis shouldn't have gone in that direction.
Interesting. I always thought of it as kind of being a hot dog that like could go in any which way.
Well, hot dogs can break too. Like you can split a hot dog in half.
I guess, but I feel like it's like more, it's more likely that it would just snap back to
snap it. Well, that's kind of what happens. Like a hot dog can break or it can snap back. I would, it's like I've been in situations where I think the turned ankle is the best way to describe it. Like where you're like, man, my foot shouldn't have gone that way.
Mm.
Like the head went a different way than the base.
I see. Kind of okay. Thing.
Jess just yelled "ew" in the background. he was hit his dick hit my stomach and bent it. He was in a lot of pain. It is painful. I understand. I've never had the blood thing though. He was in a lot of pain, so I immediately drove him to the ER. At the hospital, we were met with a lot of doctors and nurses who all asked us what happened and what our relationship status was. She writes in parentheses, not the best time to define the relationship, people.
That's pretty funny.
That's very funny. And
yeah,
it makes me think that all the nurses and doctors at the hospital were like old Jewish women, just like, so what's going on?
Is this your boyfriend?
Here? Yeah, is this your boyfriend? It's like,
right.
That's not how doctors. No, they're right. Like, what is the relationship to the patient? They're not like, so.
Right. Well, she's probably like the defensive about it, interpreting it like, and I have another person I have to tell that I'm single.
Yeah, we're so what are we, Rob? You know, right. Like,
well, it's funny.
My dick is bent. Like,
my gynecologist will ask me that every year. I remember she'd be like, so like how many same guys last year? And I'd be like, well, depending on the year, I'd be like, no, there'd been many other, you know. So the let's not many, get into it.
The how many partners thing would be a funny scene in a movie for the male and female versions. Like you getting asked, have you been with multiple partners? Like, it, you know, it's a mind fuck. And like there's certain right. guys that would be like, they'd be like, so are you having sex with multiple partners? Like, yeah, I am.
Right.
And then
yeah,
they
it's a totally different feeling. Mindset. For us, it's like, oh, now I have to like tell her about like my breakup. And like, you know, there's been like a few and like.
They're like, know. No, you could have just said yes or no, ma'am. Right.
Exactly.
You know, you go, well, I've been seeing this one guy and you know,
he doesn't really text that. I mean, we're kind of together. I don't know.
Ma'am, I just asked if you had multiple sex partners. Like, just to get, like, real serious.
It's a loaded question.
I felt bad leaving him there. I was his ride back, so I waited with him until about 4 a.m. The doctor said he was probably fine, but wouldn't discharge him until he successfully peed. So I had to take him on walks to the bathroom to try and pee. Oh, she's holding his hand like it's Tuesdays with Maury. The most embarrassing part was that he was on his parents' health insurance, so he had to explain the hospital charges to them. We kept dating, so when I met them, they knew me as the girl who broke their son's penis. What would you call this one? Sincerely, hide your kids, hide your penis. Great email. I do the thing of the funny the parents, you know, medical health insurance. It is funny. It's like, oh, is penis breaker coming over? Like, are we going to finally meet? You know, like this. Like, I don't think they think that way, but
it's funny because I feel like I've heard girls say, like, they've had, like, a lot of sex with someone. They'll be like, and he basically, like, my can't even feel my vagina. Like, it's like, but it's like a good thing. And I feel like this is not the same.
No, this is not the.
So, like, how would it, where would it bleed from? Is my other question.
I would think maybe, and I agree with you, like it wasn't like it broke like the hot dog scenario.
Because if you break your ankle, it doesn't, there's no blood.
Well, well, then you'd have to have a bone come out of your ankle.
Right.
My thinking is they were having sex. He jammed it in her stomach. It bent. And then he had some like discharge. He had blood discharging from the penis.
The penis. Okay.
Like the hole.
Right.
That would be my, that's the only way I'm thinking. Because she said it's a puddle of blood. So I'm
surprised
like,
it didn't hurt more. This guy didn't.
I mean, this sounds horrible. I have had the thing where the penis slips out of the vagina and it bends in a way that the way he explains it, I kind of I'm assuming it's similar to the moments where I've been like, oh shit, did I lose my penis in that? Like I've been like, is it gone?
Right.
And then you have a minute, you take a breath, and then you go, oh no, we're good. I'm good now. Like I've had that scenario happen. So in that scenario, your penis is fine. It's not like sitting like in an L shaped. It's back to normal, but then I would think maybe he like had blood coming out of the hole.
Okay. Yeah, no, I see that.
Maybe
that
we should ask now. Maybe we should ask our resident
gynecologist. What is it called?
The dude. Is he a gynecologist?
No, he's not a gynecologist. He does the penis doctor.
We should ask the penis doctor what he thinks.
I don't know if that's the official term, but we'll ask him.
Yeah, I don't think he got his degree in penising.
Sean says urologist. You're right, it's Sean. Urologist, we are both dumb as shit. It's a urologist.
What would you call this one?
You go first.
Broken boner, snake, bloody wanker, penis and pieces, and then this is the best one, I think, shattered peen.
Shattered peen is good.
Peens, like shattered dreams. Shattered peens.
Okay. Shattered dreams a thing?
I think it's
first one you had? I liked it.
Broken boner.
Broken boner. I like that.
What you got? Any?
Erectile dysfunction.
That's good. The the what are you from the people asking?
Sex sent me to the ER.
Would this be a red flag or deal breaker for you from the female perspective?
I think it would be fine. I feel like she was very nice. She waited till 4. I think like. It's like it could be something that brings you together.
Yeah, I mean, they dated. Yeah. She was very caring for him. She waited for him because she was the ride. This is all like in the classification of like tough sexual night, but not a turn off in any way.
Right. Yeah. I think it was definitely not a red flag or a deal breaker.
Yeah. let's do some emails. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
UUP@betches.com. Let's hit me, Jordana. Let's do it.
Hey, J&J, love the pod, feather your nuts, etc., etc. I'm not sure you guys have covered this topic before, so here it goes. I started talking to this guy pre-quarantine, and we texted/talked on the phone/FaceTimed until things opened back up. We had our first real date 2 months ago, and we made things official/exclusive last week.
Ooh, ring those bells.
Things have gotten hot and heavy while we've been making out, and he told me that we don't need to rush into anything because this isn't just about sex. I appreciated that he was being so sweet and wanted to go at my pace. He said it twice now, and it's whenever the time is right, but that he obviously wants to.
He said it twice now that it's whenever that the sex is whenever its time is right.
Okay.
But he obviously wants to. So he's like putting the ball in her court.
Okay. I'm a pretty sexual person. I haven't had sex in a while, so now I'm the one who's dying to have sex. I don't know how to tell him, okay, let's fuck now, without seeming like I barely could wait a week for the time to be right. Is he just trying to be nice and wait for me to be ready, or are there actually guys who want to wait? Interested to see both of your perspectives. Sincerely, ready and waiting. What's your take on this guy?
So there's like a couple things that kind of like... It's a little, this is not how I would proceed. Let me give that perspective. The idea that they're like, we went on our first real date 2 months ago and we made things official last week. I don't know when we received this email. But if they had their first real date 2 months ago and then you make things official, like there's a point where it's like, what's going on here? Like,
they
2 months ago they had their first real date, so that means they still haven't had sex after 2 months of dating,
right?
Which is fine. And
okay, they started talking pre-quarantine,
yes,
and then but they didn't meet up until after, like in the midst or after.
So let's say March, they start talking, FaceTiming, whatever. And then May, they go on their first date. And now it's July, and they are together. But they still haven't had sex. Like,
right.
There's a point where it's like, you know, it's a one of a few things. Sometimes when sex isn't talked about, it's just one of these things that gets, it starts as a small thing and then builds into this bigger thing. And now, like, both of you don't know how to bring it up. It's also the idea that, like, maybe he's a little, like, nervous about it. Like, if he's not making this happen, like, are you guys putting yourself in position to have sex? Like, are you going saying, hey, come over, let's go to my place, let's, you know, and make out at your place and be in a position where it's comfortable for both of them?
Well, she said things have gotten hot and heavy. Should things have gotten hot and heavy while we've been making out?
I mean, the idea of, like, yeah, like, if they've gotten hot and heavy, like, are you giving the signals to, like, are you taking off his shirt? Is he taking off your shirt? There's a point where you go, like, I understand what she's saying. I haven't had sex in a while, so I'm the one who's dying to have sex. And I don't want to tell him, okay, let's fuck now, seeming like I could barely wait a week for the time to be right. Like, I don't think he's, you're with him. Like, you're
right.
Now
if
a
you're
boyfriend,
exclusive,
girlfriend.
An official. Well, I had a thought, and maybe this is like more like sinister than you as a man would think that it was, but I was thinking, like, okay, they've been in this like short term thing, they've sort of made it like official and exclusive, but maybe like he's not positive about it and doesn't want to sleep with her and then like decide he's not that into it, so he's not sleeping with her because he's like sort of not sure about the whole thing.
You're totally right. I think there's two things. There's I want to wait because you know, but I think you're right based on the way this email was written. He has said it twice now that it's whenever the time is right, but that he obviously wants to. So he's put a lot of this in her.
Right.
He's doing the thing where he's like, I'm not having sex unless you're ready to have sex, which is nice. And that should be how we act.
Right.
But there's a point where you see that someone, like, if sex is a contract item for one person and not really a contract item for the other person, then there can be this thing where you're like, you're waiting until the other, you're kind of waiting for the other person to throw away that item on the contract as far as like something that like keeps you guys together or like makes this official. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Whereas like if she's initiating the sex, then he doesn't have to deal with, like, if he decides he's not that into it, that he doesn't have to say, like, she can't say to him, like, you just wanted to like sleep with me or and then like just dump me or something like that.
Yeah,
but now it's almost so built up that I don't think that would even work. Like, it's not like,
I know,
if she initiated now and then he was like, eh, you know, I'm not really that into it, and then left, I don't think it would go any better for him.
Totally. I kind of feel for him. You know, like,
he didn't think it through.
No, yeah. There's like this thing of like, if you try to like win if you try to win the nice guy award, you're going to be fucked. Like, no matter what. Like, if you try to win the nice guy award, you're doomed. Because this guy, he's like totally in your court. And then he gets in this position where it's like, okay, she's ready, but she's ready now that she has the relationship. And now that, you know, like, I don't know. I'm assuming a lot. And it could have been that he was like, let's be official. And then like, did you become like, here's the,
right, like, how did this official talk come up?
Yeah. I would want to know that because if it became I'm trying to think from like when I have, so she says, are there actually guys who want to wait? Anytime I've wanted to wait, it's been because I don't want the sex to be the thing that's held against me for when this ends.
Right. And that's what made me think of that, like, pretty early on. I think, unless, I mean, we were just talking about Sean and Catherine Lowe. Like, if there's like religious reasons, I'm not really getting the vibe from this email that it has anything to do with that. But yeah, it seems like he wants to release control so that he doesn't have to deal with any consequences of what happens after the sex.
Yeah, let's say he's totally on board with, like, he likes her, he's going out with her, they're both in a relationship, and now they have sex. And part of being in a relationship is she says, well, I won't have sex with someone I'm not in a relationship with. Like, does them being in a relationship mean, and then having sex mean that when does he become not the asshole if this ends? You know, like, right. You know, like, and I'm not, like, I guess I sound bad in this conversation,
but I would be wary of making things official with a guy I hadn't slept with, because, like, especially from our conversations where you're like, the man doesn't really, like, think clearly almost until, like,
That's also an excuse, but, like,
that's what you've said, is like, there's sort of like this cloudy vision, and then you sleep with someone and you're like, oh, I can see, like, this is how I actually feel.
Well, I think also that's to say that, like, the convergence of sex and the emotional attachment to that sex isn't as high
for men.
And the idea that, like, oh, you come out of this cloud, it's like, oh, your penis was thinking for you. You wanted sex and the emotional stuff you'll deal with later. It's right. Like pushing off the bill. And I don't know. This has been going on long enough that it would be weird that he's been. But I think, like, when you've been going 2 months and you're in a relationship, like, I think for her, she's not going to sound like she's some sort of sex addict freak if she's like,
to have sex with her boyfriend.
Yeah, to have sex. Exactly. This is what I mean. And if he pulls away from that, you have to wonder, is he not sure if this relationship is right for him? And that might be what he's doing. And that's okay. I think, like, but also, like, a conversation needs to happen. Like, if I were her, I would go out again, have a sexy makeout, invite him over, and be like, can I come over to your place? Let's go, whatever, and let one thing lead to another. And if one thing doesn't lead to another, you have to say, hey, I'm ready to go to this next level with you. Are you ready for that? And then stop talking. Let him talk.
Right. And then you have an actual real conversation about it.
Yeah, because he might say, well, you know, I know this is really, if he puts it in terms of, like, this is really important to you, then you start to understand that he is in that mindset of, like, oh, I'm avoiding this because if this ends, I'll be the asshole who had sex with you without. Now you kind of know.
Right. Yeah. I think it's important to, I mean, we don't have this information, so we can't get into it. But I would think it would be important to know how that conversation came about. If it was like something that he sort of felt pressured to say yes to in this exclusive, like, official thing. Or if that was something that he was, like, initiated himself or was really down for. I think that would also make a difference.
Yeah, and I think, like, if you're one of these people, which is fine, I don't think there's anything wrong with this, where you're like, I don't have sex with anyone that I'm not exclusive with. I think when you are one of those people, the thing to look out for is that type of thing doesn't matter to the person you're with, because that's important to know. If it doesn't matter to the person you're with, then I would think that you've got to be a little more wary of when you do get in this relationship, are they doing that just to get the next thing,
right?
Or are you gonna be okay with it ending even if you were in a relationship? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that you can say I only want to sleep with someone who I'm exclusive with, but I don't think that it's realistic to think that, like, things wouldn't change after that, even though you're exclusive.
That's the
right.
Double-edged sword of it all. It's like, you have to understand that, like, breakups do happen, you know, like,
right.
and you know, it's very difficult because, you know, relationships happen. You're going to have to, like, just because you guys got in one doesn't mean, if I was a person who was like, I don't, you know, date, you know, I only have sex with people I am exclusive with person, you know, you have to also, you have to be aware that, like, not everyone is really taking that into account. But I guess you are aware when you do that.
Right. I don't think you can use it as, like, a manipulative tool. I think if you're doing that because like to get something, the other person to act a certain way, if you're doing it because that's how just you feel and that's something that's important to you, I think that that's fine and great. But I don't think you can do it as saying like, well, when I only do this, guys become more X, Y, or Z. I don't think that's like accurate.
Well, also you have to be okay with dumping people that aren't like, you have to have some taste at that point. You know what I mean? Like if you're like, get to the relationship, then you can fuck me. Like, well, okay. Do you turn people away from relationships? Like, or is it just anyone that gets to the end of the maze gets to have sex?
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, and I think like it's a tough conversation to have because I don't fault anyone for having that. But like, if you're just like, yeah, and if you're in a relationship with me, you get sex. It's like, well, did you ever stop anyone from, is it hard to get to the end of that maze? Is it hard to be in a relationship with you? Did you meet over 2 months and this was two people that were like, you know, fulfilling each other? Or was it one person who was willing to get in a relationship? You have to be kind of aware of right. that too.
Yeah, that there's other factors that go into it. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code podcast15.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
You want to play a game?
Let's play some games. Yeah.
Let's do it. Send in your games, UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. Red flag deal breaker. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
He gives you a nickname before your first date. Example, my name is Nicole, and he started calling me Coley in texts. No one calls me that. I said I wasn't into it, and he said, well, I need a nickname for you, ... He still tried to use it again in person and on our date. So this is a bit obnoxious.
Right. I mean, my first thought was like kind of after, you know, doing this podcast with you for these years, yeah. I thought like, oh, he's maybe using this as a way to like create this false sense of like closeness.
Totally agree. You know? That is a thing.
I've been trained like, so well by you.
You've learned the ways of the douche.
Yes.
yeah, this is because there was a woman who wrote to me the other day. That she was like, these guys on Tinder, all right, I'm looking for the love of my life. And I'm like, yeah, it's a love bomb. They hit you right. with something that is way outside of the comfortability of this relationship to make you more comfortable in it so that you'll become physical. Coley on Nicole isn't even make sense. So in this scenario,
right.
you're
it's
absolutely
not like Nikki.
Right. If you went with Nikki, it's kind of like a softer version of that.
Right.
Coley, it's like he tried too hard and it made his douchebaggery show.
Right. It's like, it's obvious.
It's too obvious. If he had gone with Nikki, he might have been fucking. You know, if I was to sit with him, I'd be like, dude, Coley, what the fuck is wrong with you? And,
right.
and a little bit of it is
it's fake intimacy. It's fake intimacy.
It's also a dominance. Like mm-hmm. that he's going to like Nikki is like,
this is what like, I call you. This is your name. Like I decided you're.
Yeah. It's an asshole move. It's not, if I hadn't been on a date with a girl and she was like, right. Red. Start calling me Red. I'd be like, what? What did you call me? Red. It's like, you know, nickname for Jared. I'd be like, not for this Jared. Like, I would be the same way. I'd be like, why are you doing that? Like, I've had a lot of J's. I've had girls. Jess pops in. She'll call me Jay sometimes, but we also live together. She calls me Jer.
She doesn't call you J Train?
She calls me J Train in the sack. She just ewed that. red would be too much.
It's also like, it's not like something happened and that's what, you know, like a waiter got your name wrong and now it's your inside joke. This is like someone trying too hard to
establish
some sort of dominance and, again, fake intimacy.
Totally agree. And also on the subject of trying, how many times are you texting someone's name to them?
Also true.
To even write Coley, you know, like, it's like, You've showed your cards. Like if someone was like, Jared, how are you doing it? I'd be like, all right. It's like, it's a kind of a sales technique too, to use someone's name a lot.
Yeah. Predator. So are you out? Or is it, I think it'd be a red flag for me. I think everything else were great, I might let it slide.
Deal breaker. It's too much, too soon. Don't assume yourself into my life. I like that you were like, predator. Ding, like marked him as a predator. Let's do another.
They want you to have a surrogate, or they insist on having a surrogate for their pregnancy, not for medical reasons, but for vanity reasons.
So this is kind of, so I'm backing away from this subject because I don't know about the surrogate game. But I do know it's a hot button social issue, right?
Is it?
I think I again, for the listeners at home, I've heard that this is kind of a touchy issue.
I did not know that when I included it.
Okay. The surrogate, you know, thing where I think there's a class issue with it where it's like, and maybe that's why they sent it in. They want you to have a surrogate I guess this is a woman writing in saying they want you to have a surrogate. They insist on having a surrogate for their pregnancy, or they insist on having a surrogate.
It's like for vanity reasons. So like I'm taking any sort of like who the surrogate is or anything like that. Basically, like they're saying, I want a surrogate, not because like I need one for medical reasons because I can't carry a baby, but because I just want to make sure my body stays intact.
Yeah. I don't know how much of an opinion I'm allowed to have on that.
If
it was a woman that I'm dating, like, do I tell her how to get pregnant? I don't know. I don't know if I'm even. But also, there's a lot of people that see these surrogacies as like people using other humans to
carry their baby. Right. Well, some people can't have them on. So you're saying some people are against surrogacy, like generally.
I think some people are against it in this scenario where it's like they're doing it for vanity reasons and maybe you're taking up someone that could be used for someone who can't have a baby, or also you have the money and the means to do this and you're doing it for vanity reasons, and whereas now you're using someone's body. I don't know. I don't know what the
right.
Maybe
well,
you
I would be
against. I don't know.
I would be against this for vanity reasons, just because, like, for me, that would. I mean, if a guy told me that he wanted me to do that for vanity reasons,
totally,
I would be out.
That's more black and white. Where the guy, yeah, the guy, yo, use like, this other person. I don't want you fucking up your body. Like that'd be gross.
that would be terrible. Yeah, right.
Horrible.
And I think that. I mean, I wouldn't. I don't want to judge, but like that's what this podcast is about. But I feel like if you won't have a baby for the yourself because you're worried about how your body's going to look after, like that would be like a pretty big red flag for me in a friendship of a person.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like if a woman that I was dating, if it was like, I don't want to mess this thing up. we'll just, you know, I don't know how I would. I don't know what my opinion would be. I don't know. I'm not left speechless a lot by this podcast, but This would be one I don't know enough, and I don't know about the social implications. I would want to go through the process with my wife of, like, her being pregnant and being a part of that. Like, I think that's a nice thing. But, and if, especially if they're able, but I just don't. It wouldn't be a red flag or deal breaker. I would kind of like, there are some subjects that I go,
not going to touch away. That.
I'm not going to touch that. Like, I don't know. Someone Fair. Might be, someone's going to DM us or write us a nice email being like, no, here's everything you need to know, or send us.
Well, I would love to learn more. So if anyone has any interesting factoids about that, that show our ignorance, please
hit us, please. Hit us up. Always open to learn.
UUP@betches.com.
Let's do one more.
This one's a little lighter. They leave a toothbrush and deodorant at your apartment the first time they come over.
That is red flag, but moving into deal breaker territory.
What would, because,
well, it's
it would just show that they were a little too comfy.
A little too comfy. I would have no problem throwing away someone's toothbrush they left in my apartment after a first night. I'd be like, get this the fuck out of here. But
at what stage would that be okay for you?
There's no okay stage for me. Like, I
Jess's stuff is still Jess in keeps her purse.
Jess keeps a bag by the door just in case this ends. It wouldn't move me either way because there's no toothbrush and deodorant left at my kitchen or at my sink that would make me rethink staying or being in the relationship. I would be like, well, she's got her toothbrush here. I guess we're together now. Like, it would, that wouldn't be.
Well, it's more just like their assumption that, like, they're coming back. I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's it. It would be a deal breaker for me. Like, I'd be like,
at what point would it be like, okay?
I guess I don't know. It'd be like fifth date.
Okay.
Fifth like sleepover situation.
Fifth time they're here. Okay.
Yeah. They're like, you know, if you've slept over more than three times, then I would assume like, hey, I'm just going to put here. I think it's more about where they leave it. I think if they put it under the sink, all right, cool. Hidden away from sight. You're not really.
Okay.
I think once you take a spot in the open bathroom, then
so that other
really
ladies, other ladies yes. will see it.
It's a planted flag on Mars. It's like, right. I own this space.
It's a dog urinating on its spot to mark.
Absolutely.
It.
What would you right. think?
I'd be like, oh, he's coming back.
It's a good idea for men to do that. Like, where they?
I think I'd be into it.
Yeah, you just leave one thing. Oh, I'll get it next time. And then like, hey, we haven't seen each other in 2 months. Oh, no, I got my underwear there. I'll be there.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'd take it as a very positive sign. I'd be like, I mean, first time is like a little weird just because also like who brings mm-hmm. a deodorant or a toothbrush with them. But like, yeah, like let's say they were coming, like we'd been on a few dates and then they like came over to make dinner and watch a movie and they bring stuff.
Got
and
my
leave
deodorant.
It,
right? I got my PJs. Yeah.
I think it would be a little, I mean, like I'm joking, but I joke about the like, it would be like a little hot, but I would be like a little bit, I'd probably be a little turned off by it. I would say
it's a little too much. Like the idea that like the guy on a, like you wouldn't be going back to your place after like a, like drinks. It'd be like after like a dinner date and you'd be like, wait a minute, you had deodorant with you the whole time. Like,
right.
It'd be a little weird.
It'd be like too much planning. Anyway, yes. That's our show.
That's it. It's been we did it.
Great as always.
Come on back Sunday. We're going to do a bonus episode Sunday. We're going to do one more email. You know, send some suggestions on what you'd want to hear out of a bonus episode. We have a lot of great ideas in mind. You send in your emails, UUP@betches.com. We'll be back on Sunday.
Yes. UUP is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@betches.com.
Betches.